Welcome to the Pre-Post Film Review. I'm Matt Stevenson.
And I'm John Asquith. So the way the podcast works here at Pre-Post is first you'll hear us talk about the trailer for a film. We'll chat about our expectations, what we think the film's going to be like. That part will be spoiler-free, so you can listen to that before you've seen the film. And then it'll jump forward in time and you'll hear us do a full review of the film once we've seen that after release. That's going to be chock full of spoilers, so don't listen to that until you've seen the film itself. This episode we're talking about Split, which is probably particularly important to do a spoiler warning, so try and see the film first before you listen to the review, because there is significant things, or there are significant things that can be ruined. That's worth going in cold if you can.
Absolutely. Like, if you're even mildly interested in seeing this, I would, you know, not listen to the review until you've seen it.
Yeah, definitely. So here's our trailer thoughts on Split.
Hey, pardon me, sir. I think you have the wrong car.
I was sent to get you for a reason.
Open the door! No!
There's a flower on the pillows, a flower in the bathroom. Like, we're important.
The only chance we have is if all three of us go crazy on this guy.
Who is that? Maybe she can help us.
We're here! Help us!
We're in here!
Don't worry. He's not allowed to touch you. He knows what you're here for. He listens to me.
My name's Hedwig.
All right, we've just watched the exciting new trailer for the new M. Night Shyamalan film starring James McAvoy. What were your thoughts, Matt, if I am talking to Matt?
This looks insane. This just looks nuts. I think this trailer gives away way too much. I think we've seen the whole film basically from this trailer. I know exactly what's going to happen. And I also think this is probably going to be horrible. I'm tipping it now. I think I'm going to hate it and I think it's going to be terrible. But I think it's going to be crazy, which I'm kind of curious about. I don't know what to sort of make of it. It's just mental. I think James McAvoy looks like he's having a lot of fun, like doing all these crazy different characters. I think there's, what did they say, 20-something, 23, 26?
Yeah, 23 personalities.
I mean, like, right off the bat there, that raises questions for me, because if they're going to show 23 different characters or, you know, personalities in some way throughout the film, like, how are you going to fit that into 90 minutes with any sort of coherency? I feel like it's going to be jam-packed full of just bizarreness. And then I think there's all the weird stuff about the psychologist saying, like, how the brain can change, like, your body type, what are your physical attributes or whatever. So I think the implication is he literally turns into a monster at the end, like this, the beast or whatever that they refer to. I mean, this could be a big old switcheroo-y fake-out trailer and it doesn't do that at all and it's trying to force us to, like, think that that's the way it's going and, you know, it'll turn out to be something completely different, but I don't think that's the case. I don't know. Yeah, like I said, morbidly curious. I think it's going to be a bit of a train wreck, but I think it could be a fun train wreck to watch happen. And I do like that it's something unique and different, and I kind of like that M. Night is just going out on these weird limbs now on these, like, low-budget little films and just sort of doing whatever the hell he wants, and the result is these crazy little horror films. Like, I mean, The Visit, I didn't like The Visit at all either, but I liked what it sort of represented, and I liked that he could do his own little thing, and he wasn't relying on a big twist. So actually, again, this feels like it's trying to play for a big twist, And I really hope that it doesn't do that. I hope that it avoids it and just keeps it kind of this straight psychological thriller, because there's some interesting stuff that could happen in there. It just seems a bit too bombastic to be, like, serious in any way. This seems like it's really having fun with the premise. What about you? What do you think of the trailer?
Yeah, I was very surprised by this trailer. we only just watched it before recording this, but this looks just crazy, you know, no pun intended. I think this could be a really fun, silly, make no sense kind of horror movie. I'm not predicting this to be particularly serious or insightful. I think it's probably going to have pretty bad dialogue in it, just from what I can tell from the trailer. It seems, I don't know, just very absurd. But as you said, you know, that could be very fun, and it is. I don't know. There is something interesting about M9. I find, and I've talked about this before, I'm a huge fan of his early work. Like, I'm always going to see something he's made, except for After Earth. I still haven't seen that. but, you know, something that is genuinely a film of his. Just because I don't know, like, where his mind is half the time. Like, especially in this later trend in his career, it's just, like, these strange, strange movies. And you think they're darkly humorous, but I don't know how much of it is intentional, like intentionally funny, I mean. And I think this trailer is being played as though it's meant to be very scary, but it looks quite funny.
It's kind of hilarious,
Yeah. So I think it'll be funny. I think I'm hoping it will have some good scares. I mean, the guy knows how to build suspense, and I'm hoping that we get some of that. I'm also hoping, just as a former M. Night fanboy, that we get some of those long takes that he's so fond of doing, and sort of nice compositions. I really like that sort of thing. As for the ending, I think you're right that it's going to be crazy, and that he can literally transform into a beast of some kind. I don't know. I think that I definitely think that will happen. I think I don't know. It's weird. But I'm excited. I'm excited for how nuts it looks.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very true. And you make a very good point about the filmmaking, and that was one of my biggest issues with The Visit, was that he limited himself to the tired, dumb, found footage aesthetic, and it was boring, and it limits it to the way you can create scares, and they felt cliched, and that was kind of born out of the style, I feel like, because he's always had such a great eye, even in his work earlier stuff got silly, like The Happening and stuff. Like, you can't deny it's not well shot, and there's amazing visual sequences in those films. So you're right, like, that, I hadn't thought about that, but if he can inject some of that into this craziness, like, that, I'd be up for seeing that alone, because he had a really great eye, and presumably still does, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a shot at the beginning where it's sort of like tracking down the corridor with the pipes and stuff like that. That looks really cool.
Yeah, that does. Yeah. So I think, visually this could be interesting. And, you know, as you said, it looks like James McAvoy's having a lot of fun. And I think, you know, if anything, this is going to be a really good reel for him, like, to show all his different acting abilities and styles. so I'm kind of curious to see how he does all the different characters. I think that could be pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think either way, this is going to be a fun review to do on the show. Like, we're either going to be pleasantly surprised, and it's just going to be a hilarious sort of fun romp, or it's going to be an utter mess and we're going to have fun tearing it apart. Like, either way, it's going to be a good episode, I think. I've never
seen totally. Before.
23 identities live in Kevin's body. Who are you? Help me get out of here, Hedwig.
You trying to trick me? I'll tell on you.
Aren't you the clever one?
An individual with multiple personalities can change their body chemistry with their thoughts.
Someone's coming for you.
Who's coming?
The Beast.
There's a man.
here. He abducted us and he's going to kill me. We're meant for something. Something horrible.
The world will understand now.
The beast is real.
He's done awful things to people and he'll do awful things to you.
All right, guys, we're down in the bunker and we're here to talk about the new M. Night Shyamalan film, Split. And I'm talking to Matt Stevenson here, I think.
That's the question, isn't it, John? Maybe I'm one of my other 25 personalities.
maybe we're the same person.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had sort of mixed expectations, I think, for this one. I think I was slightly more hopeful because I'm still somewhat of an M. Night fanboy at some level.
Yeah.
Against all odds. And you were probably slightly more cautious going into this one. So I'm really curious. I have no idea. Actually, I have some idea what you're going to say. But yeah, anyway, I'll ask what your general thoughts are, Matt, on Split.
Yeah, sure. I think you're 100% right in terms of like my expectations. I was very critical of this and thought it was going to be a bit of a train wreck. Though potentially a fun train wreck. But I'm glad to report that I was very, very wrong about this film. And I had a great time, and in a good way, not in like a train wrecky, like laugh at the film way. I was so not what I expected in terms of tone and stupidity. Like, that trailer makes it look utterly ridiculous. And it just doesn't feel that at all. It's totally a return to form, both like in the quality of the film. I think, I mean, I guess you had a better experience with The Visit than I did, but for me, the quality of the film and the filmmaking style, like we talked about that in the trailer as well, and this is definitely feels like his earlier films that are more restrained and like well shot, well composed, and it's just in general much less schlocky. You know, this, it's almost a drama for most of it. You know, like McAvoy having discussions with his psychiatrist, and you know, it's pretty low key.
Yes,
for a thriller, or I mean, they're almost marketing it as a horror film. So yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised. I guess in terms of the trailer itself, it did reveal way too much, and we will bang on about like the monster and him turning into whatever the creature or whatever he calls it.
The beast.
That's right. But even that, like the trailer paints that as being some massive, ridiculous transformation when they sort of show those childish sketches and you think, I guess they kind of hinted it in the film about like how he describes them as having like really long fingers and skin like a rhinoceros or something. Doesn't he say something like that?
Yes.
And there is something a little bit silly, like when he gets stabbed with the knife and the knife snaps. Like, that was perhaps a little bit too far. But I was pleasantly surprised with his transformation. Like, it was quite subtle. It was just, he kind of, like, just got a bit bulkier and his veins kind of popped out. And, like, that was kind of the extent of it. Maybe climbing the walls was a little bit a step too far. But even that, you know, at that point, I was so on board with the film, I was kind of willing to go with it. I liked it a lot. What about you, John? I presume, given your history with M. Night and the fact that we are always in sync on films, that you liked it as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm mixed on this one.
Really?
I think broadly I agree with you. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was a fairly solid return for M. Night. I did like The Visit, but that was a found footage movie. It's sort of a different wheelhouse of tricks and stuff that you have to pull off with that one. So this is back to a traditionally shot narrative. You know, back to sort of genre, or I guess horror thriller that he was very well known for. He had more to prove this time, I think. And I think largely he does. And I agree that the movie is not, and you know, we're not talking about the very end yet.
No.
But yeah, the movie is not what they advertise, really. It's not a horror movie. It's sort of this, I mean, you know, I guess the obvious genre is psychological thriller, like literally psychological.
Yeah.
There's a psychologist in it. I thought it was quite tense at times. I thought James McAvoy does such a good job with all the different characters. It's so awesome watching him just, you know, chew up the scenery. And I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah.
I thought Anya Taylor-Joy, who plays sort of the lead girl that gets kidnapped, did an incredible job with her performance. She really helps sell sort of the seriousness of what's going on. I was really happy with it, Matt.
Yeah.
And then the last 5 minutes happened and I was angry at the movie and what M. Night had done.
And you mean when you say last 5 minutes, you mean like the last 5 seconds?
But you know, there's 5 minutes of like a newscast and there's a scene of James McAvoy like talking into some mirrors and I'm like,
oh right, yes.
Anything after where the Casey, I think is the character's name, hops into the police car,
yep,
and the police woman says, "Your uncle's here," and
I thought that was a good moment. Right.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And it cuts to this like statue of this lion and lioness.
Yep.
And like there's this like slow piano music playing. And I thought, okay, this is a great way to end the movie. Stop it there. We're going to see the credits now. And then it doesn't. And it turns out to be a secret. And this is big spoilers, obviously, for anyone listening. It turns out to be a secret sort of sequel to Unbreakable.
Yes.
The fantastic, I think, M. Night film from like 2002 or something like that. I love that movie. But I felt like that reveal undid all the hard work.
Interesting. In what sense?
I just think it robs the Casey in particular, her journey and how serious her story is. It turns it into pulp for like this comic book reveal, you know? And I also think 5% of the people that see this movie are going to understand what the fuck is actually happening at the end there. And the rest are going to go like, what? Why is Bruce Willis at the end of this? And I just think as much as I like logically as a fan like that idea of a secret sequel and they're actually in the same universe, and perhaps over time when there's like a trilogy of them or something, that's really cool.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel almost sorry for the average moviegoer that's going to see this and presumably enjoy it because it's well made and then just have this weird ending that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
I just think it takes away from the strength of Split just as a standalone movie. And I know M. Night has said that he always planned it to be this way, but it kind of feels like to me that this was meant to be a standalone thing and then he sort of realized that he could turn it into something. I mean, that I'm going against everything he said there, so obviously that's just me perhaps being bitter about it. Apparently that the James McAvoy character was actually in the original script for first movie. Yeah, but he felt like it was too much to have him in it as well, so he took him out.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So, I mean, you know, that's true, I'm sure. But still, I don't know. I felt a little cheated by the end, even though I'm a fan. You know?
That's such a interesting reaction. I had the exact opposite reaction. That was one of my favorite moments, ever. in the cinema was that reveal.
Well, like, that's what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah, I had no idea that that was coming in any way, shape, or form. And I'm on exactly the same page as you. Like, back when Unbreakable came out, I was, like, the biggest M. Night fan possible. Yeah. I loved The Sixth Sense so much. I'd seen it multiple times in cinemas. I saw Unbreakable multiple times in cinemas, like... And I always knew that he wanted to make a sequel to it. And
Logically,
I 100% agree with every single thing you've just said. And I even was thought that after the film, you know, like... Mm. I went to see it with my girlfriend and she hasn't seen Unbreakable and didn't understand what that ending was.
Yes, I had the same experience. Yeah.
So I am completely sympathetic to that. But this is a case of just, like... The fanboy in me just... I feel like this is what, like, Marvel fans must feel like when they see something they care... Yeah. And it just doesn't work on me for that, because that never had any connection with me. Whereas this had such a strong, like, childhood connection. Like, I couldn't even tell you sort of, like, what Bruce Willis said. Like, I was literally laughing out loud and I just almost stood up in my seat and was like, what the fuck? Like... I was just gleeful like a child. Like, and from a filmmaking perspective, it doesn't make sense and it undoes certain little things. I think I perhaps don't agree that it undoes it as much as you felt. But I know what you mean. Like, it does undercut certain aspects of it. But I also just love the idea of, like, a secret sequel to something like
rare
that I get a surprise like that. Like, I don't think I've ever in my life had a surprise like that in a film, you know? Like, it was such a special moment. I was just, like, giddy with joy for, like, the next couple of hours after the film. Loved it so much. I just loved it. And I can't defend certain aspects of it. I'm fully aware of that. But yeah,
no, I think that's good. That's totally fair enough. And I agree, like, yeah. I think that is a great thing, and I'm so glad that you felt that way. Mm. I think perhaps if I was on my own, maybe I would have felt that way.
Mm.
But I was immediately, like, Soph looked at me and was like, what the fuck? I was instantly understood that most people that see this movie aren't going to know what's going on there. And for some reason that really bothers me, because I on paper, like, and in theory, love the idea. Like, I like it, as I said, and I'm excited to see where this goes. But I just can't help but feel like, and I talked about this in Rogue One as well, like, every movie has to stand on its own. And as cool as that is, I just don't know. I do feel like it undoes some of the stuff. I feel like you could have ended it where I thought it was going to end and then just kind of say that it's in the same universe. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, there are ways to do it without explicitly alienating a lot of the audience at the very end. And I think Marvel can do it because the fan base for that world is very big. Yeah. But how many people saw Unbreakable and remember it, like, outside of our sort of filmy world? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's... that's why I feel so torn. And I feel like I'm coming across quite negative on it, even though I really liked the movie.
Yeah.
Up until then. I thought, like, the way it dealt with, like, people that have had abuse and that have been through shit in their lives is their power, sort of, and is their way of getting through stuff. I thought that was all really cool. And I liked that the big climax was sort of, you know, it's like a bloody action climax until it's suddenly not.
Yeah.
And he realizes that she is like a self-harmer and they understand each other very briefly. And, you know, that's so silly, but this movie manages to make it work. I liked all that stuff. I really liked that. And I think perhaps what I need to do is not worry about the people that don't get it.
Yeah.
and just enjoy it as a fan. And sort of what I'm starting to think in my head now is that the movie ends at that point that she's in the...
Exactly. That's exactly in how the car, I think you can
And then this
it.
Other thing is like a little fan...
It's like a little stinger. You can pull that off and, like, put it at the end of the credits if you wanted to. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like it's so tiny. It was more of a stinger.
Yeah, I don't know. I can see what you mean, totally, but I feel like it's such a small little moment. It doesn't, like, literally undermine plot or anything. Like, I don't think it undercuts character journey. I think the film is still 100%, like, Casey's journey. Like, you know, it doesn't... It's not like suddenly that's all redundant. Mm. It's just this little kind of nod that we're actually in the same world that Unbreakable set in, and we're going to get another Unbreakable film. Sort of thing. And yeah, that might be slightly confusing, but I don't think it's like a big like plot twist that suddenly doesn't make sense. You know, like even for non-fans, you just look at that and you go, what the fuck was Bruce Willis there? That was weird. Film was good though, you know, like...
True. Maybe I'm overstating. It
completely undermines the whole film. But maybe I could be wrong. Like, obviously I didn't have that experience, so I'd like to talk to some more people who, you know, didn't know Unbreakable and how they felt about it. Because, like, my girlfriend still really loved the film, and I kind of explained to her afterwards, obviously, like, about Unbreakable, but it definitely didn't ruin the experience for her at all. It just made her want to watch Unbreakable, if anything.
We had a similar experience watching it, and I explained as well, like, what was going on there. I know that, Soph was really bothered by it.
Oh, really?
Because she really liked the movie, like, really quite a lot. And for some reason, that the randomness of that ending, just she couldn't get past that.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, you know, that's my only other, like, data sample on reactions. But I think my audience was pretty confused. I'm sure I heard the lady behind me say, like, oh, I think it's Spider-Man or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Because it vaguely hints at some sort of superhero/supervillain feel at the end there.
Yeah.
And she didn't, she just didn't get it.
Yeah.
But, anyway, I mean, that the ending is sort of one whole separate thing. I mean, what did you have any other thoughts on sort of the central theme? The central sort of meat of the movie, which is, you know, the James McAvoy character and the girls down in the bunker.
Yeah, no, well, I was going to bring up the point that you brought up as well about the ending. I was very impressed with the way that the kind of villain was defeated, or, you know, the threat overcome, because he wasn't defeated, I suppose. But you're exactly right. Like, it builds it up as it's going to be a big, violent, bloody showdown. And I mean, in a way, there's moments of that, but it is so smart the way it kind of diffuses the whole situation. And it sort of retroactively made me appreciate other aspects of the film too, because early on when one of James McAvoy's personalities is sort of like the clean freak, and he keeps, like, he makes the girls undress, so the two of them are in, like, various states of undress, like in their underwear. And there was a point in the film where I just kind of went, they're meant to be like teenagers, why are you making them like half naked? Like, this is making me uncomfortable, M. Night.
Yeah.
Like, you creepy old perv. And it kind of bothered me, and I was like, well, there's no real, like, narrative reason for that to happen, other than that you've given this character a trope that kind of doesn't really matter. It was arbitrary. But, like, that end scene when she finally uncovers her body, sort of, like, the representation of bodies and nudity throughout, well, not nudity, but, you know, partial nudity or whatever, I suppose, like, it all builds to that payoff. Like, you know, the perfection of the earlier girls' bodies is their, like, downfall, and their, like, whatever he calls them, impurity or impure, or, you know, he has a word for them that...
Yeah, something like that.
The girls that he's going to eat as the beast. So retroactively, that ending also made me appreciate sort of that subtle thematic setup that I was questioning at the beginning. I think it's all pretty cleverly tied in. So, yeah, I appreciate that. And I guess, just, like, to echo what you said, James McAvoy is just so good. Like, and I guess I was concerned in the trailer that if he was going to try and pull off 23 or 24 personalities, it would just be a complete mess. But they kind of sidestep that by only really sort of portraying four, is it, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
Four or five, maybe. Which I think works a lot better. And he's just so great. Like, the moment when he's in the psychologist's office, and he goes between where he's like,
I love that scene.
Barry or whatever the fashion designer into the other, the sort of like more dominant, scary one. And just the way he's able to completely, it's like you're seeing two separate people or actors, you know, it's just amazing. Just you from like little change, facial tics that he does, like the way he furrows his brow and the way he sort of holds his posture, he completely transforms himself into someone else. It's very, very impressive.
I really love that scene. And in particular, that was sort of a classic M. Night shot where it was just this very, very slow zoom up onto his face throughout that. And she keeps sort of prodding and poking him, you know, like, who am I really talking to? Come on, let's figure this out. And just as you get closer to the face, he changes. And I really like that. That was great. There's lots of great moments in this movie like that, actually, where the filmmaking was really impressive, I thought. I mean... just quickly, also, there's lots of exposition and some dialogue that's a bit stiff and weird, which is sort of just comes part and parcel with M. Night these days, I think. He likes having characters explain things a lot of the time. But I guess in this movie, that sort of makes a little more sense because the psychologist has this whole theory and thesis on on what, you know, it's easier to get that kind of stuff out. But anyway, as I was saying, like there are lots of good filmmaking moments in this that I really enjoyed. Another one in particular I can think of is just the titles at the start.
Oh, I was going to bring that up. They're great, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really cool, really big and bold, and intercutting with like him like dragging the girls into the bunker and stuff. And the score was really good too, really creepy and just like weird sounding. I loved that. I really loved the opening.
I totally agree. I'd almost forgotten about that. I was very impressed. I'd say if I was being super critical, that score and the opening titles are almost too good. Like that, and they paint such an ominous tone that the sort of the following film isn't very consistent with.
Yeah, that's true.
Overall, I think is a positive. Like, I enjoyed the fact that the film isn't... I mean, it has thrilling moments, but like I said earlier, you could almost classify it as like a psychological drama with a couple of thrilling scenes, you know? Which I liked, which impressed me. But yeah, those opening titles are so good and they set up such a like horrifically oppressive mood that I thought I was in for like... Seven or so, a film like that, you know.
Totally.
But yeah, no, they're great, and the way it kind of like splits the screen up, like into like little, almost like a bank of television screens or something. It was so unique and so cool. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, very cool. And I like to just in general that M. Night he puts a lot of his opening credits like up full screen and front and center, sort of like old Hollywood films. He's sort of done that since day one, and I think that's just a really nice touch. It sort of gets you in the mood, and normally there's like heavy score over it, and I just really like that as a technique.
Yeah, definitely. I also just, I mean, I guess you could argue it's a bit on the nose, but I think it kind of works in general, just tying it back into the ending, but just Casey's like journey in general, and like there's specific beats that are callbacks that are very kind of like classical filmmaky narrative structure, but I think it's good. I guess it reminds me of the old school Shyamalan films where he's like using those kind of old school storytelling techniques, you know. So the flashbacks where she's getting molested as a child, which you sort of don't see, and then she's holding the gun and she almost shoots the uncle but can't do it, and then at the end, you know, she is like, her journey is that she then can stand up to McAvoy's like character. But also like little things as well, actually, similar to the use of nudity or the girls in various states of undress, I liked how at the beginning the way she behaves when she's first locked up seems very odd and cold and like strange, and she's like has these weird like tips, you know, she's like, let's not get out of control, we don't know what the situation is. She wants to be like calculated and figure it all out, and then the first girl gets dragged off and she's like, wet yourself, like pee on yourself, get that, like, and you're like, what, why does she know all this sort of stuff? But then once you sort of the film you know, plays out and you realize like the horrific stuff that she's had to endure for her life. Yeah. Like that all makes complete sense and how she has learned from those experiences and is applying that to a current situation.
Yeah. She's a survivor and knows what to do in sort of extreme situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That's all really good. And again, like we sort of keep referencing the climax and how all this stuff comes together. It's just handled really well and does retroactively make you see the film differently. I mean, that's true for the character climax and then the franchise twist at the end. You know, it. I always enjoy that in sort of films, and especially in M. Night, you know, it's something he hasn't done for a while, but obviously was almost a cliche of how he used to write was... having these reveals at the end or suddenly everything sort of clicks into place and things make sense.
Yeah.
And it is done here again, but I think, you know, in a more sort of subtle way than perhaps previously done, you know, excluding the unbreakable stuff at the end.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. So yeah, John, overall, I mean, it sounds like you did enjoy it, but had issues with the final minutes. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that pretty much sums it up. I think it's a really solid, interesting drama thriller up until there's a logical endpoint for me, and then there's this little tacked on thing at the end, which I'm coming around to as I read more positive reactions to it, just as a film fan. But yeah, as I've said a few times, I do think just as a film on its own, that is problematic to end with just like such a well-known star having one line that most people will sort of be confused about. But yeah, overall, I think it's good. And I am really excited, like as a fan, to see what M. Night's got coming next. Like, I don't know if he's going straight on with this sort of unbreakable stuff or whether he's going to wait a bit more and do some other things, but you know, he's you know, like him or not, he's always interesting, and I think that's a great thing to have, you know. So yeah, I'm mixed, but mostly, you know, quite positive.
Yeah, I feel like it sounds like we're basically on the same page, other than that the end moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can see exactly where you're coming from, but I loved that moment so much. I can't turn off the fanboy in me.
I totally understand.
I went bananas at that moment, and it's like, honestly, one of the best moments I've had in the cinema for, like, little moments, you know? I mean, I wouldn't say the whole film is one of the best films I've seen ever, but that little moment was so much fun.
Yeah, totally.
For me.
That's a very unique
experience. Exactly. That's the best way to put it. I've never had anything like that happen in a film before, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. Thanks for listening to the Pre-Post Film Review. We'd love to hear what you guys thought of Split. Did you think the end twist was... Did you think it worked? Or do you think it undermined the film? Like I said in the review, I'd love to hear from people who haven't seen Unbreakable and how you felt the twist worked, whether it did or whether it didn't, or whether you were just confused. You can email us those thoughts at prepostfilmreview@gmail.com. And we reply to every email that we get. It's always awesome hearing from you guys, so send them in.
Yeah, definitely. Send them in. And if you have 23 personalities, they can all send an email.
Exactly.
It's even better. Just like in the movie. And if they say that you need help, don't send them to us, because we can't do much to help you. Sorry. We're also on Facebook, guys, so you can give us a like there. That would be fantastic. Keep up to date with all the latest news and gossip about our lives. Not really, just keep up to date with the podcast over there on Facebook. We're also on Twitter @prepostfr, and give us a follow there as well. That would be very cool. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and all the big podcast servers, and I guess the main thing we would ask of you, dear listeners, is to subscribe and you know, give us a rating on all these different sites if you can, because it helps us sort of get new listeners and spread the good word of the pre-post film review. So that would be great.
You can also follow John and myself on Letterboxd. There's links to our profiles in the show notes. You can see what we've been watching outside the podcast, look at the other reviews that we've written and films that we've liked. And join us next episode, where we're going to be talking about the new Martin Scorsese film, Silence.